Welcome to Eclectic, the podcast about anything and everything youth ministry, you name it. I'm Rob Brower.
And I'm Scott Davis.
And today we are talking about what?
Mentoring.
Mentos. The Fresh Makers.
The Fresh Maker.
Where did that come from?
I don't know. At least when the commercials first came out, somebody did that line with with an accent. And so, the Fresh Maker. I probably made it a lot worse. Mentoring.
Okay, so before we get into the deep topic of mentoring in youth ministry, here's my question, Scott. And I don't know if anybody else has this question, but okay. The person who does the mentoring is the mentor.
Correct.
Who receives the mentoring?
The mentee.
Is that really a word, or do we just kind of make that up?
No, it is the word.
Are you sure?
It is the word, but it sounds ridiculous.
Because like discipler, disciplee, we tend to say disciple.
Yes.
The discipler and the disciple.
So the mentor and the mentol. No, it doesn't work.
It's weird. It's a weird word.
It is. What comes to mind every time is a manatee.
Same. I think of the same thing. Mentos and manatees. Yeah. How about manatees eating
Mentos? I don't think of Mentos.
What about a manatee kind of with his like fin holding a roll of Mentos?
Ooh.
And
can a manatee eat a Mento, or would it like do like Coca-Cola and explode?
Are the manatee's insides made of Coca-Cola or something?
I don't know. I've never been in there.
Now, what if a manatee ate a whole roll of Mentos and then chugged a Coke?
Explosion.
Whoa. Animal rights activists are calling in right now. The phone lines are lighting up. If this were a live radio show, we would be in trouble.
Yes.
Assuming we had listeners.
That is a grand assumption.
And so, what are we talking about again?
I forget. Mentoring.
Okay, so on a serious note, though.
Yes.
Do you have somebody that you would consider a mentor when it comes to youth ministry?
Yeah, you know, there have been several key guys over the years that I believe have been in that mentoring kind of role. You know, there's Gary Ringheiser. He was a youth pastor in the area when I was young in ministry, and Joe Liebert. Those two guys were amazing for me, and a number of guys over the years. Tim Brewer, who's in Ontario, Oregon now, he spoke into me. There's a lot of guys in youth ministry, especially in my early days, that saw something in me, and for whatever reason decided to speak some guidance and wisdom along the way. I had a lot of chaotic abilities, and they spoke some solid wisdom into me to help.
Yeah,
help ground me, and they're fantastic, and I love them to death.
Yeah,
but
I can honestly say I wouldn't be where I am today. I wouldn't be the person I am today without my mentors, and I wouldn't have this job if it weren't for one particular mentor, Chris Renzelman.
Yes,
who you know, Chris,
and I've known Chris for years. Chris was around. I was never close to, but I ran into Chris a number of times, even in my early years, and he had been around a long time at that point.
Yeah.
And I've been around a long time. So he's been around a long, long time.
He's been around a long, long time.
Yeah.
He is definitely a veteran. He's an uber veteran. And
There's a recent guy for me as well that's kind of come on, and I'm really kind of soaking up what I can get from him, and that's Mark Schaffler, who we had on as a guest.
Mark Schaffler's another one.
A number of episodes back. I'm soaking up what I can get from him, because I feel like a lot of where I need to go with my ministry now is stuff that he has done and
he's
developed a long time
ago. Been there, done that, written
like,
the book.
I feel like it's a missing piece, trying to catch a new vision for where to go now.
Absolutely.
And
I don't know if I told you this, but the reason I have this job here is because Chris came up and we were hanging out in Bellingham and went out to dinner at Sherry's, and basically he was like, man, like what are you looking for?
Right.
And I told him, he said, oh, well, what's your ministry vision? Do you have a ministry plan written out? And I said, no, I don't. And he encouraged me to write one out. And the nice thing about writing out that plan is it really helped me to focus my thoughts. He said, you're going to get asked this in an interview.
Right.
And so, it's nice to be able to succinctly, clearly describe this is what my vision is for ministry. And I did. And he said, listen, I know a guy in the Olympia area who is a district superintendent of several churches, and he's got one church in Olympia that's been looking for a youth guy for about 18 months, and I think he'd be a good fit. So he made a phone call, and next thing you know, I'm down here interviewing. And it wasn't like, oh, we're going to give Rob the job because Chris recommended him. He just got me in the door.
He got your name there.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, absolutely.
He got you a look. You've got a. Well, God has to.
Well, yeah.
But yeah, you don't just get the gift of.
Yeah, it's like getting the audition because you know somebody. But then the bottom line is you know, after several interviews and a Q&A with a committee that they had put together, including parents and some youth leaders and whatnot, you know, then I was given the green light. And and so I want to talk a little bit about the importance of having a mentor.
Right.
If somebody's listening right now and they don't have a mentor, why should they hit pause right now, go out and find a mentor? Go. Well, probably after the description. Yeah. Or maybe after the whole podcast.
Yeah.
Maybe after this episode, why should they go out and find a mentor?
You could do it now as long as you promise to come back and finish.
Come back.
But
will you be my mentor? Why? I didn't get that far. Let me go back and listen.
Yeah, exactly. So you can do that.
You could.
It makes for a really long, unnecessarily long conversation.
It would be.
So, yeah.
So why? Why have a mentor? What's the point?
There's an element, you know, scripture talks about iron sharpening iron, and that has a number of different applications, but I think part of that is here. You know, we come into ministry with a certain preconceived notion and certain raw gifts and mm-hmm. plenty of weak spots. And part of having that outside voice of somebody, and it doesn't have to be somebody that's older than you. It can be somebody that just has more experience, or just somebody that is just like they're just naturally gifted with some of that wisdom stuff, and or perspective or whatever. Having that voice that you allow to speak into you, say, Scott, you're off the mark here. That can kind of help course correct. That can look at you and say, look at what you're doing, look at the scope of your ministry and say, some of this is good, some of this is going to be a distraction from what you say is a goal. And so you need to kind of look at this and figure out what you really want to do. Or I notice you're in this plan, you have you don't have anything laid out for your personal time. What's your personal time like? Do you not have any personal time with God? Or, you know, or is it, or do you have it, but you just don't have it laid out here? You know, and stress to you. Yeah. Just somebody who can speak into you wisdom from beyond your capabilities.
That is so true. And the bottom line is, you don't know what you don't know.
Yeah.
And the longer you're around in youth ministry, you know, you'll see people spinning their wheels and burning themselves out doing things that, if they were to talk to a veteran who's been there and done that, they're making the same mistakes. And it's tough to see people going through that same thing when you know that one word of advice could easily take care of that.
So I mentioned Joe Liebert earlier. Joe Liebert is a mentor of mine in ministry, but Joe Liebert was also a mentor of mine in painting. I had a painting business a couple of different times when I needed to make some money, when I needed it, you know, a little extra or whatever, when I was young. And anyway, and Joe had a history in the workforce as a painter, and he had learned a lot of lessons in painting over the years. And here I was going to start a business, and I thought about landscape, you know, doing a lawn maintenance landscape thing. But I got connected to Joe, and Joe and I were talking about it, and Joe kind of, you know, said, hey, you know, you can totally do this. And he kind of guided me toward painting, and he said, and learn some lessons from me. So Joe told me all kinds of stories about lessons that he had learned, and he told me, the more you can learn from my stories and my experience, the less mistakes you will make, and the less you will have to learn the hard way, and the further you'll advance at a faster rate. And so it's that kind of a mentality. If I can have somebody speaking into my life that I can learn from their lessons, I can learn from their stories, I can learn from their wisdom as much as I possibly can to minimize the mistakes. Now, we're going to make mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to continue to make mistakes, no matter how smart we think we are or get.
Yeah.
But if I can minimize those by learning from other people around me, then I propel my ministry forward. I propel my skills forward, and I become a more useful tool for the Lord, for the ministry to which He's called me.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I couldn't agree more, man. You know, the thing that that I see with new youth workers oftentimes is they've got bravado and energy, and they're going to take on the world, and they're going to do youth ministry like it's never been done before. And so they start thinking of ideas that aren't being done. Why isn't youth ministry being done this way? But I don't think they're even asking that question. They just go, hey, nobody's doing this, I'm going to do that. Well, there might be a reason why the 8 veteran youth workers in your area aren't doing it that way, because they realize the amount of money it takes, it's not sustainable, it's just a bad idea.
Or culturally, it doesn't work in that part of the country like that, or whatever the case may be. When I was young and came in, you know, I came in with a lot of energy, a lot of bravado, a lot of idealistic, lofty expectations and plans and goals and stuff, but not a lot of discipline.
Mm-hmm.
And so getting those voices in my head speaking wisdom into me was huge for grounding me, so that I could become, instead of my ministry being based on charisma, it shifted and became more based on substance.
Yeah, absolutely. One of the things about, you know, a mentor is, you know, like you said, it helps you, a mentor will help you not to make those mistakes. But there's a certain amount of encouragement and wisdom that comes with experience. And so when we're talking about mentoring, we're not just talking about leadership. Leadership is one thing. You can lead somebody to be great at something not ever having done that. Right. And so there's certain aspects of leadership. But when we're talking about mentoring, we're talking about somebody who has specifically been in your shoes.
Right.
And there is great wisdom in that. There are some senior pastors who have never been a youth pastor, and so they don't quite understand, and you know, maybe they can relate, but not exactly, because they haven't had that same struggle. And it's easy for them to go, well, why don't you just do this? You know, I want you to do this. I want you to do that. Just do this. And there's an oversimplification of certain problems. You know,
a lot of my
kids don't want to do this, or my kids really aren't into this type of trip. Well, or, just do this.
Or from the 5 years they were in ministry, 15 to 20 years ago, they're telling you things that they did, which, okay, I appreciate it, but in this context and today's culture, and it's not the same thing.
No, it's not.
So you get a lot of them that. You get some that don't have the experience from which to speak, and some who think they do, but it's so completely outdated. But that doesn't mean that something from long ago doesn't apply,
mm-hmm.
but you have to learn how to filter things through, and that's where a mentor really helps.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Tried and true methods. You know, when I think of mentors, I think of kind of like, from a military analogy, the sergeant, right? Not the commanding officer, but the sergeant who's out there in the battlefield. And so you know, one of the things I love about Mark and Chris is they're still doing ministry.
Right.
You know, they're still in the trenches. Chris is young adults over at over in Renton at Highlands Community Church. And, you know, Mark is still running his ministry, taking youth groups on mission trips and speaking at the schools and things about hurting teens. And so very real. I had Mark come out to our young adults group and speak to them. And he was so relational and immediately started connecting with these kids. It was so great to watch him. And I learned a thing or two just from his interactions with these young adults. And it was pretty awesome. It was pretty awesome. And so, okay, trick question. So at what point, so you and I are being mentored, right? At what point do we go, hey, we've had enough mentoring, and now instead of being a mentee, we can graduate and be a mentor ourselves and take what we've learned and pour into somebody else?
Well, I think the first mistake is to think you ever arrive at a place where you've taken in enough.
Yeah.
I will say this, having been in ministry for approaching 3 decades,
mm-hmm.
in youth ministry specifically, it's going to be harder for me to find somebody who's been in it and is still doing it longer than me. There mm-hmm. are guys out there. You got Chris, you got Mark, you know, there are guys out there. And so, but for me, what I have found is not ruling out some of the younger voices, because they bring in a perspective and a connection to the culture that I am just removed from.
Yeah.
As an older youth pastor, I do my best to stay current on trends and to read the stats and everything, but really learning how to fully understand and integrate that understanding of culture into what happens.
So they do have more experience from a different perspective.
Yeah, because so like I'm a digital immigrant.
Mm-hmm.
They're a digital native.
Yeah.
I need help understanding how best to use some of these tools. I get a lot of that from you.
Mm-hmm.
Though I've been doing this longer, I am not naturally a gadget guy.
Mm-hmm.
I love gadgets. I love playing with the stuff, and there's a lot of stuff I can do, but I'm not naturally a tech guy. That stuff is after my entry into ministry,
yeah,
that I still have this tendency to default toward non-tech things, which in some ways is good because I don't let technology create a barrier between me and the kids or me and my leaders or whatever. So there's some good, but there's some difficulty with it. So I have to seek out, you know, those advice from the digital immigrants or from those who are a part of the culture. They are that archetype. They're the millennial. They're the whatever, to help myself in understanding what is it you want.
So they just want you to stop using overhead transparencies.
Really?
Yeah. It's just, it's so much easier to go with a digital projector these days, Scott. You don't want to sit there and flip the transparency.
You know, when you got to
put it on upside down,
when
backwards.
You got to type out that song one letter at a time, I mean, that just takes forever.
Yeah. Yeah. We just connect to CCLI and pull all the lyrics over at once now, buddy.
Wait, CCA.
You know what? That's another podcast altogether.
Oh, okay.
No, but you're absolutely right. There is no graduating out of being a mentor, whatever we're calling it, into being a mentor.
Well, I think the key is understanding, you know, developing the mindset of a learner.
Yeah.
I've always got to be learning. And so whether I'm learning from somebody who's been at it longer than me or I'm learning from somebody who's freshly into it, it's looking at wherever I can look and find what can I learn from this?
Yeah.
What can I learn from that person? And that's, I think that's a huge key. But I think the other side of that question is investing in somebody else. And I don't think you have to be in it very long to invest in somebody.
You know, kind of what I say, after you've made your first mistake, that's when you can start.
When
you can start mentoring someone else. Because if you know
day one.
Exactly. If you know nothing else, you know not to make that mistake again. I talked about my youth leader who made a mistake when purchasing ball tickets and got the wrong tickets and it cost the ministry a lot of money. And somebody else goes, I guess he won't be purchasing tickets anytime soon. I said, no, you're wrong. I said, right now at this moment, you know who I trust more than anybody else in the world right now? If we had to buy tickets, that guy.
Yeah.
Because he's not making that mistake again.
Yeah.
It was an expensive mistake to make, but as long as you learn from it and move forward, I guarantee you.
Yeah. Well, and the other thing that does, as his mentor, you have just said to him, mistakes happen. It doesn't mean I'm going to stop believing in you and trusting your capabilities.
Even this morning, right, I had a leader come in, and she had made some purchases and had to fill out the form. I was not aware, because normally when I check out the church Visa card, if it's a major purchase, I don't want to go against my church Visa card limit,
right,
or my Visa card limit. So I use the church's office Visa card. So even with that, I learned for the first time, I've been here 4.5 years, that when you make purchases at multiple locations, basically for every receipt, you have to fill out a new form. And I thought it was just you fill out one form, and if you shopped at Walmart and then went over to Costco, then went over to Freddy's, you just put them all on the one form because there's 4 different lines where you can fill in what you purchased. Well, that's not the rule. And so what's funny is I learned that a couple weeks ago. And I filled out the one form, and the office ladies called me on it and said, hey, you know, you got to fill out.
And how long have you been here?
You have 4.5 years. Right?
So you got to
fill out for it. So today.
Different places, different, you know.
When she checked out
systems.
The card, here I am going, okay, so now if you go to different places and make different purchases, and I explain the rule to her, and our office manager, Nancy, just kind of laughed. She goes, oh, that's funny. You teaching her how to do it.
Yeah. It's like, well, I'm the best one now. It's all fresh. It's fresh information.
And if somebody had told me when I first got here, I wouldn't have made the mistake, right?
And the best way for you to really ingrain that and really learn it is then to turn around and
teach it to someone else. Yep. That is one of the best ways that you can learn. And so at the Northwest Ministry Conference a couple years ago, blessed to have Bo Beshears from Lead 222 Ministries. That comes from 2 Timothy 2:2. Mm-hmm. And that's where he says, you know, and take the things that I've entrusted in you and basically share them with qualified individuals who are then capable of teaching others. It's a plan of ministry discipleship and mentoring that was laid out long, long ago.
Right. But not everybody does it. And invest forward and further forward and further forward.
There tends to be a tendency.
Let me
back up. There is a tendency to think that mentoring is a two-level deal, mentor, mentee. But here's the truth. Every mentor is a mentee. And every mentee is a mentor,
right?
So you should have, and Bo talks about what he calls the Be With Constellation. He wrote a book called The Be With Factor. You can take a look at that. He talks about how Jesus came to be with us, not just to sit on high and tell us what to do, but to live amongst us and show us by example, right? And so part of that is this mentoring discipleship process.
Right.
And he's following the Father, and he's telling us, you follow me as I follow the Father. And if you look at that game of follow the leader that Christ has set up, if he is exactly mimicking the Father and we are exactly mimicking Christ, you should not be able to tell the difference. You should be able to see God in us because we're doing it right. And so he says in this Be With Constellation, you picture you're in the center of this constellation. To the north of you is your mentor. To the south of you is your mentee. To the east is a peer that's in your ministry or your area of work. Mm-hmm. And then to your west is a peer that is outside. So right. being youth pastors, we should have a mentor pouring into us, which we do. You have somebody that you're pouring into or persons.
Yes.
So we're persons. Pouring into people, our youth leaders, et cetera. We've got peers like one another inside the ministry. And then we've got peers outside of the ministry that we can bounce things off of. And it's really valuable. Right. A lot of people lack that point. But we talked about this a little bit earlier. If I'm struggling with a senior pastor, youth pastor relationship here in this office, and I bring that to you, you might commiserate. You might go, yeah, man, senior pastors just don't get it, man. Us youth guys are always getting dissed on. And we tend to just take that from that youth pastor perspective. But you go to a friend outside of ministry and they go, I don't see the problem, man. It sounds like in any business structure, because they're not in ministry, they don't get it. They see it from a different perspective, different lens. They go, yeah, it sounds like your boss is just setting up boundaries and he wants you to work within them. It seems reasonable to me.
Yeah.
It might give you the perspective
it's
you need
leadership
to go,
structure.
Yeah, you know what? I guess that is leadership. And so I'm just filtering it through the poor me, I'm the youth guy getting dumped on filter, which is not accurate.
Yeah. Well, and you know, and some of the youth guy getting dumped on is unfair, and some of the youth guy getting dumped on is absolutely called for.
Yes. Yes.
Because, you know. Well, that was last week's podcast on procrastination.
Procrastination. Yeah. Yeah. And so, you know, when it comes to being a mentor, I want people to know that, listen, you don't have to have all the answers. I like to use the Paul's conversion on the road to Damascus, right? Here he is, and what he did have going for him was he had a lot of zeal, and he knew the law, right? He was a teacher of the law amongst teachers of the law. But after his experience with Christ, he says, you know, who are you, Lord? And he says, you know, I'm the Christ. When you're persecuting. After the scales falls off his eyes, basically he's told, this is where I want you to go.
Right.
And immediately he just goes and he does, and this is all he knows. All he knows is, listen, I had an encounter with Christ, and Christ told me to come seek you and to spread the word. Well, what's the word that you want to spread? That Christ is real. Christ is who he says he was. I encountered him. I know that everything he said was legit. Well, he had not been a Christian for very long before he started evangelizing. And if you're new to this and the only thing that you know is, hey, when you go to buy baseball tickets, make sure you buy the right tickets, share that with somebody.
Right.
And that's a form of mentorship. Just making yourself available to other people to be able to just be transparent and admit, hey, look, man, mistakes – mistakes are a great way to learn if you're learning from them, right?
That's the key.
If you're making the same mistakes over and over again,
because part of the problem is sometimes we struggle to identify that we've made mistakes because there's always somebody else. Oh, this was their fault. This was their fault. This is their fault. Well, when it's other people's fault enough, maybe the problem stops being. Maybe we come to this point where we realize that maybe I need to evaluate me, because the common denominator in this is me, 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 me. They can't all be them.
Yeah.
And so
if I'm offended by everything that everybody says, maybe it's not everybody. Maybe it's me. Maybe I need to change my heart. And, you know, I can't tell you how many times I've actually, you know, prayed that to God, say, you know, God, change Scott's heart. But if it's not Scott, if it's me, Lord, point that out to me. Change my heart. Right. And I think we have to humble ourselves to admit, A, number one, as a mentor, we don't have all the answers. All we have is our experiences. And as long as we can speak honestly and transparently, openly from our experiences, hey, I made that mistake once. This is what I learned from it, you know? Yeah. And it's not that you have to do everything your mentor says the way to do it, you know? Maybe it's different in your context, but at least be open-minded enough as a mentee to receive what they have to say. Consider it. See how might that apply to you and how might it not apply to you, and then make your decisions after being well-informed.
Right. Yeah, and it doesn't necessarily have to be a living, breathing, in-your-face, tangible person that you talk to and have conversations with, because sometimes that's difficult. Sometimes in our context, we're a long ways away from somebody who can really speak into us like that. So maybe it's a particular author or a group of authors, and you read their books, and you dialogue in your local context with what that book is revealing. Yeah. You try and figure out, how does this fit to where we're at? Glean from everywhere you can find.
Absolutely.
And, you know, it's not a formal mentorship relationship, but sometimes we don't have or aren't aware of. And until we become aware of, maybe all we have is something like that.
There's a guy.
Or listen to a podcast.
Yeah, about 2 hours away. And we met at the Northwest Ministry Conference.
Right.
He happens to be a youth pastor in Leavenworth.
Right.
I'm in the same denomination that we're in. And so he said, "Hey, I'm going to, you know, out of country for a little bit. And when I get back, I want to call you, ask you some questions about youth ministry." I said, "Absolutely." Well, he called me up this week. We actually played phone tag for a little bit. But then when we connected, he picked my brain. Told me the situation that he's in, what he's going through, kind of what he's seeking to do with youth ministry, but he hasn't seen it modeled for him. And we're going to arrange for him to come out here and see how we do ministry. I'm going to go over there to see what he's working with and give him my best assessment. But then he said, "Man, I know you're really busy, but man, if you got time, every once in a while, a phone call, email, something. If I'm in town, grab a coffee. Love to continue or enter into a kind of mentoring relationship with you." And so we're going to do that. It's not somebody that has to be in your ministry, you know, but I would encourage you that as you pour into people, I mean, you're going to grow, and you need to go into it with an open mind that, listen, just because I'm mentoring him, it doesn't mean I'm not going to learn something from him as well.
Right.
And that's one of the things I love about these relationships, is that there's give and take.
Yeah. And if you're sitting on a pedestal, sitting on a perch and looking at, "I'm expounding all of my wisdom to those below me," you're not really going to end up being much of a quality mentor.
Yeah.
You've got to constantly be looking for places to learn, and including those that you're speaking into. They can teach you so much. So,
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, we would love to hear from you. If you have got a mentor that you just want to extol the virtues of, if you've got some challenges that you're going through, or you got questions, or any suggestions, things that we didn't talk about on this podcast, feel free to reach out to us. You can visit our website. That's eclectic.com, eklectic. You can also email us. We're podcast@eclectic.com. Once again, that's eklectic. You can tweet at us, like us on Twitter, follow us. We are at Eclectic. And finally, on Facebook, we are facebook.com/IamEclectic.
Hey, and if you listen to us on iTunes, think about reaching out there and clicking on that little thing and giving us a positive rating there. And just kind of send us up a little bit there and help spread the word a bit.
Yeah. And for every thumbs up that you click on an Eclectic podcast post, a fluffy puppy or bunny or whatever animal you like comes into this world and is loved.
Yes.
And for for every time you don't. Well, we won't talk about that.
For every time you don't, a unicorn dies.
Oh, that's so sad.
They're all dead.
That's why, because people haven't been liking the podcast enough.
People.
So click those likes, people. Share us. If you think we've been helpful at all, please feel free to share us with your friends. Hey, I'm Rob Brower.
And I'm Scott.
I said my last name again.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I messed it up. Thanks for listening. Stay eclectic.
Stay eclectic.
That was great.
That was the clunkiest ending.
That was.
And what the heck is with my timer?
I know. Did you not silence it?
I had set it to stop playing, and that's when it's on mute, and it stopped. I don't know.
Stupid iPhones.
Stupid iPhone user.